Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Kim Nelson. Kim's the Assistant Administrator and Chief Information Officer at the Environmental Protection Agency. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation also from IBM is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Kim, let's start by talking a little bit about the EPA. Could you give us a historical background of the EPA and explain its mission to our listeners?
The Environmental Protection Agency, I think, is an organization that most Americans recognize. It was created back in 1970, right around the time of the first Earth Day. It was created as America was really getting a real interest and awareness of the environment. Everybody wants clean air, wants safe drinking water, wants land that's clean to live on and live in communities that are safe for our children to grow up in. And therefore, EPA was created to help provide that kind of mission for the country.
Could you talk to us a little bit about the EPA's interaction and relationships with other federal departments and agencies?
Sure. You know, when people think of the environment, often EPA is the first agency that comes to mind. But really, there are many federal agencies that have some kind of responsibility for protecting the environment. For instance, the Department of Interior manages over 500 million acres within the country. In fact, one-fifth of all the land in the United States is managed by the Department of Interior through their Park Service and through national lands. Likewise, the Department of Agriculture manages all the forest lands within the country that are owned by the government. And you have a handful of other agencies that also have some kind of environmental responsibility. So in doing our mission, we have to work with many other federal agencies.
How do you describe the size of EPA, its budget, number of people?
EPA is a fairly large agency, even though we are an agency and not a department. We have almost 20,000 employees across the country. We have a headquarters that's rather large here in Washington, but we also have 10 regional offices across the country. And I really think that's where the rubber hits the road in terms of EPA working with states, working with local governments, working with tribes to fulfill our mission.
And how about the skills of the people? As you were describing the environmental, I began to think about scientists and the like. Maybe you could describe the capabilities of the team.
Well, we certainly do have a lot of scientists, and more I think one of EPA's core missions is in the research area. There are a lot of questions that are still unanswered to us today. Even more than 30 years after the agency was created, there are so many answers we don't have the answers to today, particularly answers like linkages between environmental condition and health condition. So certainly the science is an important part of EPA's mission. In addition, we have a lot of engineers, we have enforcement officers, lawyers, we have people who analyze programs trying to ensure that we're achieving the results we want to achieve. So we have a broad array of different kinds of people working at EPA with different backgrounds and skills. In my own office, I'm in the Office of Environmental Information, of course, we have tremendous focus on technology, and therefore the skill set that we have in my office has more of a focus on technology, information science, information management, librarians, people who know how to access information, display information, disseminate it, people who use geospatial tools, a lot of people with geography backgrounds, because that's an important part of how we share or display information.
Let's take a little bit further the responsibilities of your organization. What are your responsibilities and duties as a Chief Information Officer?
Well, you know, that title, Chief Information Officer, is one that probably is widely known to a lot of people who work in the private sector. For government, the term is relatively new, I will say, particularly coming from state government. Here in the federal government, back in 1996, the Clinger-Cohen Act was passed, and under that act, certain large agencies were required to create a chief information officer position. That position, as envisioned by the law, was to be created in such a way that many companies, large companies in the private sector, created CIO positions. The position, for instance, is to report to the head of the agency. There was a real acknowledgement at that point in time that the use of information was a powerful tool to the federal government. The federal government was making a tremendous investment of billions of dollars in information management, information technology tools, and therefore they felt that the CIO, who has authority generally across an organization to make investment decisions and technology decisions, was a wise position to have in the federal government.
You mentioned background in state government. Can you tell us about your previous experiences before becoming CIO?
I have been in Washington now for 3 years. Before that, I worked for 22 years in state government. I held a variety of positions. Interestingly enough, I spent 22 years as a at-will employee or as a political employee, never having a civil service position. I believe that sort of gave me the desire every day to get up and do an outstanding job because I didn't have civil service protection. I started in the Senate of Pennsylvania as a legislative aide. It was a tremendous way to get experience on the state government at large, everything that happens in state government. I left there and I went to a regulatory agency, the Pennsylvania Public Utility Commission, and I worked for the chairman of the Public Utility Commission. There, I think, is really got interested in regulatory issues. I was there at a phenomenal time. I was there during the accident of Three Mile Island. I happened to live just outside of Harrisburg when that accident occurred, and much of the work we did then was dealing with the aftermath of the cleanup there, the costs associated with it. I was there during the breakup of the AT&T Bell companies. Again, a really interesting time in the regulatory arena. I left there, spent a short amount of time working in Governor Thunberg's administration, the Department of Aging, and really recognized that I wanted to get back into a regulatory environment and went then to work for the Department of Environmental Resources. And I spent 14 years working there before I came to EPA. And it was there at the Department of Environmental Resources where I was tapped to be the first CIO ever for that particular agency.
So how did those experiences together help you to be able to prepare for the responsibility that you now have in the EPA?
I come to the CIO position perhaps a little bit differently than a lot of people. I don't have an IT background. I don't have a degree in information technology, computer science, information management. My bachelor's degree is in secondary education, political science. My master's degree is in public administration. And I came at the job really from a management perspective, saying, what does a manager need to do their job by way of information? And it was very apparent back then in our environmental agency, we didn't have the kind of information we needed to know whether we were doing a good job or not. We couldn't compare one program to the other in terms of were our facilities in compliance with our laws. We didn't have information to really tell us whether the air was getting better, the water was getting cleaner. So we didn't have the kinds of management information we needed to always make the best management decisions in terms of where our resources should go, how our budget should be allocated. And that's what drove me into this field, which was to say, how do we as an organization then start to collect the right information to use for management purposes?
You mentioned the management information. I'd like to take you back and compare some of your state experience with your federal experience and give us a sense of, you know, how would you compare the different management approaches at the two levels of government?
Well, it's funny you should ask that question, Paul. I was testifying before Congressman Putnam's committee, and at the tail end of the hearing, he asked that exact question. How would I compare my state experience with my federal experience? There are many, many similarities. The mission of our organizations are similar. The demands that we have from the public are similar. The challenges we face are similar. The one thing that is very different here in the federal government is the focus on information technology and information management from so many areas. At the state government, it almost happened unnoticed. But here in the federal government, there's a tremendous amount of interest from Congress. You know, I've testified half a dozen times already before congressional committees. I never did that in state government. There wasn't that kind of interest from our General Assembly. The General Accounting Office, the number of audits that my office goes through from the General Accounting Office, again, is another indication. The Inspector General, the OMB, all of that oversight is very, very different here in the federal government than what I ever experienced in at least my own state government career.
And how about the speed of decision-making? How would you compare the two levels?
The speed of decision-making, I think, depends on the nature of the decision that has to be made. There are clearly some instances where I could point to my own state career where I was able to make a decision on the spot and have that implemented. But here in the federal government, so many of those decisions are, in fact, covered by regulatory requirements that a decision that was very simple in state government that I made on my own and had implemented within 24 hours actually here in the federal government would take a rulemaking. It would take years to implement. Then again, there are many other decisions where we can make them just as quickly here, and that's not the case. So it really depends on the nature of the decision. Although, in general, there is more bureaucracy here, more red tape, and it is more difficult to get things done.
It's an interesting point, especially about the speed and the different issues. Information collection and dissemination is a big part of what the EPA does. What are the management challenges in doing this? We'll ask Kim Nelson of the EPA for her perspective when the Business of Government Hour continues.